Rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
People say our problem in Christianity is Sunday-only Christians who fail to live the life every day of the week. But that's a false dilemma. Show me a true Sunday Christian who comes to the Lord's house worshiping in joy, resting in Christ, and receiving His grace, and I will show you a seven-day-a-week Christian. In fact, an everyday Christian is impossible without being a Sunday Christian. We're going to look at this on Abounding Grace Radio today as we go back to the book of Exodus to see how God helped the nation of Israel and gave them a way forward out of idolatry so that they would have real strength to live the Christian life and look to the Lord Jesus Christ for deliverance. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. You can find us on Facebook, and when you write to us, it encourages us so much. And if you are blessed by these programs, keep us in mind in supporting us. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Here is now the message from Exodus chapter 35, which I have titled A New Way Forward. And I hope this blesses you today, dear listener, on Abounding Grace Radio. And I believe that we've come to a very helpful section of Exodus this morning that really does provide a path forward for Israel. It gives them a way forward. We've been challenged the last weeks to see, and it was summarized in Psalm 81 last week, that Israel's problem ultimately was, not that it was unclear that they shouldn't make a golden calf, that they wouldn't listen to the Lord. They just wouldn't listen. And Hebrews comes along and tells us that not only did they not listen to the law, but Hebrews comes along and tells us they refused to listen to the gospel. So we have a law and gospel repudiation by Israel. It's really something to think about. The gospel was preached to them. Where was the gospel preached to them? I know of no better passage to show you where God preached the gospel to them when it says he proclaimed his name and said, I'm long-suffering and gracious. He's preaching it to them. Well, what is unfolding now is God explaining for them the implications of this. How they can be assured of his favor. How they can be assured of grace. How they can be assured of blessing as they go forward as sinners. If they will listen carefully, if they will listen carefully to what he has put in place to help them and to strengthen them. He puts certain things here to strengthen them and help them. But if they forget these things, if they turn from these things, if they depart from these feasts, if they depart from the grace he's put in place for them to help them, to strengthen them, then we'll notice here, they will, and in their long history proves this, they face the curses of the Sinai covenant. That's the Old Testament. So we see here that certain things are being put in place that God has always intended to put in place to help what he understands and knows to be sinners. He knows your weakness. He knows your frame. He remembers that you are dust. But we're challenged to ask, are we embracing what God has given to assure us of his forgiveness and his love? It tells where we are. Last time, God was renewing the terms of the Mosaic covenant. I mean, that's what this whole body of law, particularly in the 10 words, they had been smashed at the foot of the mountain. Now God is giving them back to Israel. As these two new tablets are being prepared with the 10 words, God then announces that gospel sermon that we looked at last time. His attributes, remember those seven attributes that we went through. He's compassionate, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, he's abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and he's just. That was announced right after the two tablets were handed to Israel. Were being cut, if you will. So the order that we have it now is important. God rewrote the terms of the covenant, if you will. He regave them. He reestablished them. Whatever word we use, something was redone here. And he gives them back. And immediately after that, they're cut, he gives a gospel sermon. Now I'm going to come back to that, of how Moses responded. That'll be the second point. But I don't want you to miss the structure here that's going back and forth. In verse 19, you have the terms again restated with the laws specifically focused on the first two commandments, which they broke, and you'll notice today, which goes into the third and specifically the fourth. So the Sinai covenant is now brought back into the picture. Remember, God only deals with his people in terms of a covenant. So in verse 10, this is what he says. Behold, I make a covenant. That's the first thing that's said there in 34, verse 10. Behold, I make, am making a covenant. Before your people, all your people, I will do marvels, such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among you whom you shall see the work of the Lord, for it's an awesome thing that I will do with you. No nation on the earth was as blessed as Israel. No nation. All the nations of the earth at this time worshiped gods of stone. And those people gave all kinds of attention and energy. We saw what can happen with a golden calf. All the energy of worship and the roar of it all to those gods. But the one true God and all heaven and all of earth, the one true God, the living God had decided to give his love, which was electing love, to choose this people and come down and himself be with this people, and that he would drive out all the nations of the land and give them the land that he had promised to Abraham. It's going to be awesome, says the Lord. You watch what I'm going to do for you. You watch what I'm going to put on display for you. It was so wonderful that when they began to enter the land, all the inhabitants of Canaan heard about them. This was Rahab saying, when we heard about you and your God, our hearts melted. He alone is with you. We've heard about what he did for you in Egypt and those kings on the other side of the Jordan. Terror fell on us, they said. It must have been an absolute incredible journey to have the Lord himself go with them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But you have a big responsibility. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. Now the whole emphasis here falls on the problem of what happened on Mount Sinai. The problem of idolatry. If I'm going to do this, idolatry, then you need to take very seriously the responsibility to keep yourselves from idolatry. That's the heart of this. What we have in chapter 34 then is the Lord setting up the laws, laws and instruction to keep them from happening, from going through and letting happen what happened there on Mount Sinai again. So the first thing that the Lord does is impose in Sinai upon them again what he requires. Observe what I command you. Notice this. Notice the language here in verse 11. I will drive out the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But now look at verse 12. Take care. lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in your midst. And then he comes the particulars. I want you to tear down their altars. I want you to break their sacred pillars. I want you to cut down their asherim. Notice that. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. The Lord outlines what they were to do. I don't want any covenants. I don't want any unions with the pagans of the land. I don't want you to have those relationships. You are not to enter into their religious and their social life so as to join those practices. You are not to do that. What do you think that means in our environment? Take some wisdom if we're going to apply it properly. Don't you think that you could look at certain causes going on right now and say, a Christian cannot be a part of that and be separate? I mean, just turn on the news. You have to come up with that. What do you value? What are your causes? What are you living for? What are you fighting for? There are certain things you can't join with. You just can't do it as a Christian. Kind of a foreign message today, isn't it? Hard message for us today. Because it's so foreign to even hear. There are certain things that belong to the spirit of this age. There are certain practices and certain causes that the God of this age has blinded multitudes of people to be in those causes. I think you saw that to a large degree yesterday. I saw and heard things that no Christian could be a part of. To have any fellowship in the ancient times with foreigners was to make alliances with their gods. God says, no. I'm your God. You feel that yet? I don't want you joining with them in any alliances to be a part of their pagan practices. No alliances. The Lord says further, it's completely forbidden for you to be involved in their places of worship. You'll notice that it meant that God was requiring them to be zealous about his worship, to hold that very sacred, to hold that very holy. No tolerance of false worship. I don't want tolerance. Tolerance is not something I give you the right to. Involvement in those things will pollute you. Christianity, it proves, requires a measure of intolerance and a willingness to stand for something. And here we're told what it is, who it is. And then he goes through the consequences of this. Listen, if you don't, if you're not going to take this seriously and you're going to mock it, and I can just hear the fundamentalist charge in our day, you're going to mock this stuff. Watch the snare in your families happen. You don't want to take it seriously? Watch the snare in your own children. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be really tempted to go worship these other things, these other gods, and you're going to share a loyalty with somebody else. I don't want any other god worshipped in your lives except me. For my name is jealous. I'm a jealous God. Jealousy means I am fiercely protective. They were his. He was theirs. I am your God. You are my people. I am your God. It's really a moving thing when you think about it. Imagine if we lived with that kind of zeal to remain pure in holiness because the Lord is our God. The God of heaven and earth chose us. He did. Of all the peoples in the earth, he chose us. It's really a moving section of Scripture of a fierce love for his people, isn't it? All the things that we kind of roll our eyes at. Sad, isn't it? The Lord commanded those whom he loved to be loyal to him. And that if they betrayed that love, he says, here's what's going to happen. Serious spiritual adultery in your lives. Here's what it looks like. Verse 5, you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. 15, excuse me. And when they whore after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and you're invited, you eat of his sacrifice, you take of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters whore after their gods, and make your sons whore after their gods. Shall not make for yourself any gods of cast metal. Here's what the not taking seriously of the separation is going to look like in the course of your lives. Here's how it'll go. You're going to have all this spiritual adultery after gods. And then what's going to happen is, as you join practices, you're going to be justifying marriages of believers and unbelievers. You're going to give your children away to this stuff. It starts with giving them away to false worship. And then the path to that is no kind of understanding or appreciation of their distinct identity that they don't have the right to marry outside the Lord. That's the path here. False worship, go right down into their lives and their holiness and their purity. Then they don't care about who they marry. That's the path out. That's the path to Canaan. It's really instructive, isn't it? A downward spiral into a compromised existence is the kind of life that is so blurred in conviction's gone, that it looks no more like anything distinctively of the Lord, but is completely blurred into the world until it is completely aligned and joined with it and justifies it. Convictions drop, and soon you're going to justify things you'd never justify years ago. And I've looked at this, I've seen this, people who were very strong in their convictions, and then all of a sudden, years down the road, totally compromised. They've dumped them. What happened? And notice what he says. He uses example of the great temptation of marrying outside the Lord. I've always been moved that the New Testament authors are really using this and working from this principle. Paul told us that all these things were written about Israel so that we would not do the same things. And then he comes along to the Corinthians and says, listen, be separate. Come out. Be separate. You can't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You can't be in your marriage. You can't be in your life with your friends. That is not your choice. It's not your prerogative. Not if you're going to be a Christian. Means that spiritual adultery is real. That's what he's telling us. So who you join with, what you do, who you devote yourself to, will show itself then in the patterns of your life, right? That's why he goes on and says, the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Listen, I'm going to be really clear here. I've told you before, you practice that, you're not inheriting God's kingdom. But those who practice this in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against such things. Now, how do you feel at this moment? First impression is God takes your faith pretty seriously, doesn't he? Sometimes I'm afraid when we have all this talk of gospel and forgiveness, that it becomes an excuse to downplay and marginalize how serious God takes idolatry. Gospel used as a cover. We are his people. I'm fiercely protective of you, says the Lord. I am fiercely protective of you. I'm fiercely protective of my glory and the love that I have for my people. you know, I read these things and I'm refreshed in these things, and I think that should have in the life of Chris Gordon a real restraint, shouldn't it? Should. But something should trouble you. God just reestablished a covenant and the relationship, and did we listen to what just happened? Did we learn anything about the seriousness of the problem of idolatry? Oh, well, sinners will be sinners, right? Our kids just need to sow their wild oats, right? Get around professing faith when it's good for them. I just think it's a tragedy that's been our attitude. I've seen that attitude. Here's the problem. If you look back in chapter 22, and you look at verse 20, if you're inclined, you can turn there, flip back a few pages. Here was the consequence of breaking this law. The Lord had already put it down for them. Chapter 22, verse 20. Here it is. He who sacrifices to any god except the Lord only, he shall utterly be destroyed. Uh-oh. That is a remarkable verse, isn't it? The law just commanded that there was no provision for forgiveness for this sin of idolatry that they just committed. I think that should have been felt. When God came to Moses and said, "That's it, I'm wiping them out," he was simply fulfilling what the law required as punishment: death. So he says, "I'm done with them all." Now that's an interesting moment because there was no provision for forgiveness. The same was true with David's sin with Bathsheba. Remember David's sin with Bathsheba? He committed adultery with her, and the law had commanded death. It so affected David that David then, after he had been confronted by Nathan, gets on his knees and he says, "Lord, you are just when you judge and blameless when you condemn." If we know what we are, there should be a sense of, I don't even deserve to be alive right now. I've been doing this stuff so much in the course of my life. If God punished as his law says it should be punished, it's over. And you all would be in hell. We don't even think about these things. God, in the midst of this, and this is what I want you to see this morning as we come to the table, had already been preparing a path forward. I love this. He restated the law. And what is the first thing that he did last time? Preach something that had already been in place. He hid Moses in the cleft of the rock as he passed by, and he preached the gospel to him. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty. So when that gospel sermon was preached after a great sin, what was the first thing we saw in Moses that we have not seen in the entire book of Exodus? It was this. Thinking about Abraham, as he has been the whole time, he bowed his head to the earth and worshiped. Then he said, "If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord go among us, even though we are stiff-necked." I know what we are. I know what we are. We're idolaters. We're stiff-necked idolaters. "And pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us as your inheritance." That's not really, a prayer of contrition has not really been introduced in Exodus yet. But there it was. And I couldn't help this week as I was thinking about this to say, wow, the Lord just gave them the way forward. It was to bow their heads. It was in great humility in great humility, agree with God's assessment of our lives that we're stiff-necked and ask Him to pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us as His inheritance.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.